Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Did you see the Golden Globes, Mary?
I saw it online.
You saw it online? Yeah. So I can't ask you what you thought of the dresses.
Well, I saw the dress online. I thought she looked gorgeous. I was so delighted she won. I didn't take much notice of the dress, in all honesty.
We didn't care about anything else.
Once she won, that was the main thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
A young one from Killarney, huh?
Brilliant.
And what about the young scientist coming to Tralee 2 years in a row?
Isn't it just absolutely amazing? Another girl. So, I mean, it's fantastic. Fantastic news and a great, you know, thumbs up for girls in STEM, which they're really trying to promote. And I think it says an awful lot for the Kerry schools.
It does, yeah. You know, so kudos to Mercy Mantock.
And the interest in the whole, you know.
And Prez the year before.
Brilliant, absolutely. And it'll be great for that student. It will open doors, you know, that she never even imagined will be opened.
Yeah, absolutely. And the very best of luck to her, because the Murphy sisters from last year are doing so well.
And I've met them at a couple of events and they're absolutely super girls and really interesting and interested in everything that's going on. So they're a great credit and ambassadors to the school and to the competition.
Yeah. Yes, so the future is bright.
Very good, yeah.
Mary, now let's turn our attention to the current crop of Leaving Certs. God love them. And February the 1st is looming. I can't believe we're already around to another CAO deadline. It only seems like yesterday you were talking about it.
And I seem to be repeating the same things and people are still making the same mistake with the CAO. And I suppose one thing to watch is that on if the students are registered by the 20th of January, they get reduced fee of €35 with the CAO. So it doesn't mean, because I have lots of parents contacting me at the moment panicking that they haven't decided for the 20th of January. They don't have to have made their minds up by the 20th of January. They just need to have registered to get the reduced fee. The 1st of February then is the first cut-off date for the CAO choices. And in actual fact, unless it is a restricted course you are applying for, you still don't really have to have your mind made up. You should have a vague idea and put down your listings, you know, as best you can at that stage. But you have then up until July the 1st, unless it is a restricted course. Now, I'm flagging that because that means that in addition to the CAO points, there is another entry criteria, maybe an audition, a portfolio, HPAT, an exam, you know, an interview. And why it's important to get that down early is that those are normally held over maybe April, the auditions or presentation of portfolios. So it needs to be down early at that stage, you know. And it doesn't mean you can remove it again. So you could decide to go for art and design in a college and, you know, you'll be required to attend for maybe an interview and a portfolio. You might decide in July, actually don't want it, and that's fine, you can remove it, but you can't add it in at that stage. Okay, so that's why, just to watch the restricted courses. And a number of students, Leaving Cert students that I've met, when I met them, had no idea what restricted course was. So they really need to make sure and inform themselves and look up anything that they don't understand, you know, and that will in any way inhibit them from applying for the course that they want.
Okay, look it up, yeah.
Look it up. And the CAO website is brilliant. Like, I find, like, you know, there's so much information there. Sit down, take your time, and they have some demo videos that will show you what to do, that you can practice doing even your application form. And it's not a proper application. Just to watch that when you do practice, it does mean you have applied, just in case somebody would think they have. But it goes through the different steps and stages, you know. So, and it is very helpful, and there's a lot of information there. So take your time, yeah, and read it. Sit down and read it, yeah.
And Mary, the vast majority of sixth years fill in a CAO? Or is there would be a certain percentage who wouldn't want to go to college?
There is, but even if they don't feel they don't want to now, they normally probably would apply anyway, just in case they change their mind. And I mean, I always say to every student, have every eventuality covered, you know, and you can't apply at a later stage, you know, so you're better off to, but because sometimes people are just a little bit overwhelmed at the moment, they can't decide what they want, so they say, you know, I'm not going to go to college, you know, I can't deal with all this, and they don't apply or register with the CAO. So they should really, because it just keeps their options open.
Okay, so you're limiting your options if you don't.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, you're limiting your options that if you make a change before the Leaving Cert or when you're doing the Leaving Cert. Yeah.
And does the CAO cover the vast majority of Irish universities?
Yeah, it'll cover all the Irish universities, yeah, and all the technological universities. It's in the National Universities of Ireland grouping, and the technological universities will all be covered through the CAO. What is not covered is that if you want to do a further education and training course, like you would have offered in the PLC colleges, or if you want to do an apprenticeship, that is not through the CAO.
So, Mary, common mistakes.
An awful lot of mistakes that people make, and they make them every single year. That's why I stress time and time again. First of all, just be very careful with your ranking of courses. Every year, I don't meet some students, and September comes along, and they ring me and say, Mary, I'm after getting my first choice. And I say, congratulations, but I didn't want that. You know, I didn't think I'd get the points, so I put another course first with higher points. I really wanted my second choice. And they really have to put down, and I mean, people say, ah, that didn't happen every year without
you. You say it every year because it always amazes me when you say it.
I know, and you're tired of listening to me, but
no,
people
not
still
at
don't
all.
Do that. People put down maybe a course that there's the points are higher, so they think it might be better. They put down a course that they might think they might like. Instead of actually just putting down, this is what I want, even if the points are 300 points, it doesn't make a difference. There will be people on that course that have 600 points. It doesn't mean that it's an inadequate course. It doesn't mean that it's not as good as a course that has 600 points. It means that there's more places normally there. So that's why the points are lower. So put down what you want, forgetting about, you know, points and all that. If you could, what is the course you really want? And that's your number one. And then if you can't get that, what is the course that will still get me to that route or on that route that I could do next? So with lower points, there's no point putting, I mean, sometimes I get CAO forms people send me in September when I'm meeting them or if they drop out of college. And the way they fill them out, I mean, they get a prize nearly for trying to do a mismatch. Like there's no point putting courses that are higher points underneath the ranking. It's fine to put one above because if there's a second round offer, if points drop in the second round offer, you could get an offer second round. But just to watch the ranking. I think as well, a big problem is that people don't understand the point system. Exactly what I say, they don't understand that with the second round offer, what does that mean? You know, so they're not availing and completing the application form to the best of their ability that they will get every single option possible. They miss deadlines. People miss deadlines. They forget to, you know, to
February 1st.
Is the first, yeah. And then as well, the CAO send out a statement of application in May, and that is your time to check. Is everything right? You know, all your details, the numbers, your date of birth, everything you could think of that they're looking for. That's the time to check. It's
sort
correct.
Of a safety net.
Yeah, and an awful lot of students don't even check that. And then they realise the error when the CAO offers come out. So watch that. And when you're using an email for the CAO, use an email that you check regularly yourself. If it pops up on your phone or, you know, if it's a school email that you just use, if to do with schoolwork or exams or whatever, don't use that. Use an email that you have constant access to because that will be the email that the CAO will communicate with you on. And it's important. Some people just miss those. And the amount of students say to me, I never saw that email coming in.
You know? Until it was too late.
It's too late. And they had an error there and they missed out on a place.
Oh.
I know, yeah. I mean, some of the things you'd feel like shaking them just out of frustration, you know. Because you say, did you not hear me saying that? But, of course, it's easy to say that. I've an old head on, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a young person, you're not thinking of all these things that I see constantly happening to you. Errors with entry details, as I said time and time again. Errors with restricted courses, people not realising that they needed to follow up with the portfolio, they needed to follow up with an interview. You know, not just researching, really, I think, in an awful lot of cases, and not having the information. Remember, there are career guidance teachers in schools. So, you know, go to your career guidance teacher if you have a question. Look it up. Go and get advice. If you can get an answer, don't stop there. Like, there's answers for all the questions that you have. And they're not stupid questions. You know, everybody has these questions. So don't be afraid, even for a student, from a student's perspective, or a parent. I find sometimes a parent doesn't want to ask a question because they think, maybe I should know that, you know. I can tell you, I'm in this sector for over 30 years. I'm learning something new every single day without fail. When I'm working with a student or working with a client, I find a different route or something else, you know. So don't feel that you should know. If you don't know, you know, an answer, ask a career guidance teacher, ask somebody for help, look it up online. You know, there's some very good careers portals is a website that they would use in schools an awful lot. It's very easy to manage, very easy to, you know, to deal with, to navigate, and very clear. I think it's probably one of the clearest for people to use. So use that careers portal and also the CAO website. I think they're two great websites.
And they're all free to use,
oh,
are they?
Yeah, all free. And I mean, and even sit down with, you know, a son or daughter, and go through it together, because between you, you can work out an awful lot, do you know?
Very good. We'll take a break, Mary, and we have some questions for you, and I'm sure there's a few more to come in as well. Is there anyone out there with a son or daughter filling in the CAO, and do you need help? Do you need advice? Is there anything you'd like to ask Mary? Well, why not text us on 083 300 3300 and she might be able to help you, and she's staying with us for another little while back after these.
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, Mary, we have some questions for you. And this is from a listener who says, my daughter deferred a college place last year. What does she need to do this year? Does a lot of that go on, actually, Mary, deferring places?
It does. A lot of students say sometimes something unfortunate happened and there was a death or there was an illness or something and they just felt they weren't ready for it. Sometimes they got an offer of a college place and they didn't think it was the right college place for them or the right course. So they may decide to defer for a year and perhaps do a PLC in that area or that discipline to see if they do, are they making the right choice? Other times they realize, when they realise the cost, they decide to defer and they work for a year and save money and then pick up the college course. For that person who is deferring, what they need to do is apply to the CAO this year and just put down one course choice, and that is the course that they deferred. Just one course listed on the CAO form. If they include anything additional, it will cancel the deferred course. So just remember, if they want to do the same course that they got the offer for, they complete the CAO form this year and they just list the one course that they deferred from last year.
Okay, very good. Now, the second question is a course in one of the NUI colleges better than one in a technological university?
Right, that is a very common, I suppose, misconception people might have, I think, and there's an element of academic snobbery sometimes, unfortunately, and that people think if they do, you know, a course in maybe Trinity, it's better than a course in a local college, whatever. I think the right answer there is that the course that is best suited to the student and whatever college offers it is the best college for that student. If it's in Trinity and the course is right for them, well, then Trinity is going to be the right course and the right college. If it's the MTU here in Kerry, then that is the right course. One thing I will say is that people need to look at the course content rather than the college that's delivering the course, I feel, because some courses are very relevant and suit some students, others won't. So don't let the college dictate where they go. I think it's important to remember as well that, like in a large college that has, you know, very well placed, and there's nothing wrong with any of those colleges, a student might be in a college course with first years with maybe 300 others. In a smaller local college, they might be on a course with 30 students. So the lecturers will get to know the college students, you know, within the class of 30. They will get to know them very well. They will not get to know them in a group of 300. So you have to think, like, will I survive in a group of 300, driving myself all the time, attending every day, without anybody calling me or anybody chasing me to make sure I'm there? Whereas in the college that there's 30, you'll find the lecturers will say, I saw that you were missing yesterday.
I used to say it myself. Small school, yeah.
You know, and there will be far more, you know, accountability on behalf of the student because they do get to know them personally. And because of that, and that can be a real advantage to some students. It depends on their levels of maturity, their levels of responsibility. So that needs to be taken into consideration, then picking the location of the college.
Yeah, it's a shame really that a lot of parents are maybe even trying to deter their children from going to certain colleges because it's in Dublin and because they know it's next to impossible to get accommodation, which is a shame because there might be certain college courses that you can only do in Dublin. The accommodation market is such that...
And I find, like, I work with students from all over the country, and all the students say from Kerry and Limerick and, you know, Clare, that area, they will say, I don't want to go to Dublin, you know. And I, you know, and sometimes, you know, and sometimes I say, well, I said, the course you want to do, there's less points in Dublin. You really should include it, you know. No, there's no way I'm going to go to Dublin. And in actual fact, an awful lot of, I don't know who they think are the students in Dublin, but an awful lot of people from rural backgrounds are in Dublin studying. And I mean, I had a niece and she told me that everybody in her class came from, you know, all different areas in the country, in Kerry, Limerick, but people anticipate, or they're just in their heads, they have it that there will only be Dublin students going to Dublin colleges, and they feed out of their depth, and it's a new, you know, environment. But I mean, it's going to be a new environment if they move away anyway.
Wherever you go.
Yeah.
John was in touch to say his son has an exemption in Irish. How does he go about managing this in relation to going to college?
Yeah. Just watch, there are minimum entry requirements to get to college. For a level 8 degree, it's normally, say, you know, passing maths, English, and then or Irish or another language. So if you have an exemption in a language, you may get the exemption confirmed in the school. That doesn't mean to say that the CAO will know about it or the college will know about it. So you have to follow up on that yourself if you have an exemption. Any of the students that have exemptions, you need to follow that up yourself, whether it's from one of the universities or, you know, some of the other colleges. And if you look up on the CAO, there's a section on exemptions there, and that'll tell you what to do, because you need to apply to... Depending on where you're going, you need to apply, and they will process your exemption, and they will notify the CAO then that you have an exemption. Some people think because the school told them, oh yes, you have an exemption in Irish, or they've got that confirmed, that that's sorted out, but they must follow up with that themselves.
Listener says, Mary, my son's school is charging €200 for the mock exams coming up. If a parent can't afford to pay this fee, is there an option to be exempt, and can my son still sit the mock exams?
I would get in contact with a school there and explain the scenario. No student should not be allowed to sit in mock exams due to financial pressure that's on a parent. I would get in touch with the school, and I would say that they will sort something out.
Yeah, to be fair, I think, well, certainly I know the secondary school where my daughter goes, they would have sent us all out, all parents out, an email about the mocks, and this is how much it costs and this is where it's payable to. But I'm pretty sure there was also a line saying, if you can't pay for whatever reason, you know, please contact us and we'll, you know, I'd
and
say,
I mean,
no.
All the schools would have, you know, options like that for people that are under pressure at the moment. So I would be inclined to go back to the school, explain it. You can do it privately and in confidence, and just tell them so that, you know, the child just can be dealt with the same as any other student.
I might squeeze one more in, Mary. Martina emailed us. She says she was going to apply to go back to college as a mature student, but she's wondering what should be included in her statement of interest. What's your statement of interest?
That is, because a mature student may not have leaving cert results or, you know, courses covered, they're asked, it's like a personal statement, I suppose, a little bit. And what they're it kind of turns some mature students off, and they're all gung-ho, ready to go and apply for college, and then they're faced with this and they think, oh, I've nothing to put in. Basically, what they want to know is, why are you deciding to apply for this course? What can you bring to this course? What experience have you that is going to be relevant? And why now? Why is this the right time for you? So you might maybe... That woman might, children might be going back to school. She may have been caring for somebody and they may have passed away. She may decide she wants to complete a career change. So, you know, so be genuine and give your reasons why. And again, people, as I said before, Deirdre, a lot of people have abilities and they've experienced that they don't associate with going to college or whatever, you know. She may have volunteered, she might have organised events, you know, she may have cared for somebody, whatever. And all that can be put in there once it's relevant.
Yeah, it's your mission statement, isn't it?
It is, actually. She's selling herself, You know, and the best way to sell yourself really is to imagine if you're writing this and it's somebody else you're talking about. Because people find it, I say that to people when I work, people find it hard to say, oh, I'm amazing at this, or do this, you know.
I'm fantastic.
But if you think about it, if you were writing it about somebody else, like, you know, what would they say? You know, what would they say about the things you have done? Somebody else. So if you take away the personal side of it and, you know, thinking, oh my God, they'll think I'm great if I say this. You are great. So put it on paper, you know, and once you can back it up, of course, that you are great and you've said all the things. So that's what they're looking for. And they're looking to see, are they motivated? You know, are they resilient that if they come across an exam, if there's some difficulty, if they give a placement in the course, will they just balk and give it up straight away? So they're the kind of things that are important, especially with a mature applicant, you know, because it will be new. They will get support there, but they'll want to see somebody who won't give up if it gets a little bit tough initially for them.
Right. OK, very good. Well, listen, we better leave you go, Mary, because the time is almost up. But just remind people, because I'm sure you'll probably be getting lots of queries about the CAO deadline.
It's busy at the moment. Yeah, yeah. People are worried about things, but it'll all be fine. Just make sure they've registered before the 20th to get avail of the reduced fee, and that then it's submitted before the 1st of February, especially if there's restricted courses that they're all listed before the 1st of February. That's the priority. And then if there's additionally, if you're here or there or have exemptions, you need to follow up on those.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Mary Lucy, your website again is Mary...
careerahead.ie. My email is marylucy@careerahead.ie and my number is 087-933-8941. And if you message me rather than trying to ring, because when I'm with people, I can't answer
the phone. You can't answer the phone. So, and she's great for answering texts, I'll tell you that.
I am, yeah.
She's very good for... I know from personal experience. Mary, great to see you. We'll check in with you again next month.
And Happy New Year to everybody.